It is an honor, and it's beautiful, certainly, to be here with saints such as you that know such great things about the Word of God. Amen to that, and in fact, and so, therefore, I'm going to open up with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, we pray that we be thankful. Thankful for all the things that you've bestowed upon us through your plan of redemption and through your will and through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. We want to be thankful, and we want to think about that as we walk through this life, as we are endeavoring to walk worthy of the unspeakable calling, if we understand it correctly, that you've given to us. We pray this evening, as always, for all of our infirmities, for things that we must go through, and things that we will go through. And we pray, if nothing else, that we might lean on you, and truly that we might not lean to our own understanding, but that in fact we might lean on you, and that we might know resurrection power that is stated in Ephesians 1, and that we walk after the new man, the new creation within us through the Holy Spirit, for through the new man we understand eternal things of God through his word. And so we do pray these things and much more according to as you know us, each individual, and know our hearts, each individual. We pray that we can lift up things and that we can truly, truly trust in you. For all the things that are going on in the world around us, we pray that we might put them or leave them in their proper place, and what's more, that we might look to you and to true reality in you and what's to come. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, amen. And so this evening, I'm going to, in a sense, continue on with the study of victory, then the battle. This is going to be kind of a little bit of a tangent, but one that applies. What I'm going to put forth tonight is a few things concerning us, the assembly, the body of Christ, the fullness of the Son. How about that one, Alan? And things we should be thankful for, because it is a possibility, and I say this knowing myself, that as great as our God is, it's a possibility that we take many things that he has done through his Son for us for granted. And I'm going to try to point out a couple of those things just to get the devices rolling around in our minds and hearts. Then I'm going to address the question that was posed to me in my last study, the new man of Ephesians 2, and the new man of Ephesians 2, or correctly, pardon me, I should take that back and say, one new man in Ephesians 2 and the new man in Ephesians 4. Are they the same? Are they different? So I'm gonna take that up, and then I'm going to read some definitions of the old man and Greek translations of the old man, just to get some bearing on what the old man is. All right, so I hope that made sense to you. Just kind of bear with me on this as we go. Thanks for opening up the room, Ron, and I don't know if anybody's going to post, but whoever does that, I thank you right from the start. Open up your scriptures to read Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Colossians 3, 15 through 17. And let the peace of God, this is a direction to us, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Thanks for posting, Ron. Listen to this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Extremely important. I can say that out of personal experience. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, because eventually we're going to be talking about the warfare. And so that's in Ephesians 6. This we're reading out of Colossians, which is a brother epistle to Ephesians. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him or through him. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and be ye thankful. So how about a couple of things? I'm just gonna talk here a little bit about some thoughts I had about what can we be thankful for. And I'm going to slant a number of the things I'm talking about away from the flesh and away from the material world and concentrate spiritually a bit on what we can be thankful for. We understand through God the Holy Spirit that true reality is immortality. For God always was, he always is, and he always will be. This is our God. And so as we walk through this valley of tears, we know that true reality is not here. It's hidden with Christ in God, a place of immortality. So why do I say this? Because true reality is him, and he is immortal. And we will be immortal. That is true reality. And you could say, well, that seems crazy. But in fact, we are directed constantly away from the flesh to the new man, to our calling, to the right hand of God, to a power that no human being can understand without God the Holy Spirit, to be being sealed by God the Holy Spirit. And so we live a very spiritual life, or we should. All right, so our lives are a spiritual walk, and we should, I believe, we should view the world in that frame of mind. We were all born in sin, in a dark and fallen world. That's the reality of this place. And we are all deserved of the wages of death. People all have an old man, everybody, from the bum on the street and the lady streetwalker to the kings and queens of this world and everybody else in between. They are viewed the same way by a holy almighty God, no matter how good they are said to be. The wages of the old man in them is death. Yes, folks, Mother Teresa has an old man. Are there good people and bad people in the world? I suppose you could say that by, you know, analyzing what they do in the flesh. But as far as God is concerned and his requirements for his kingdom, the true reality is they're all off the mark, and therefore the need of the Son of God. If they don't have the Son of God, they're condemned already. That's the world that we live in. A fallen world, a dark world, a world in which every human being has an old man. God sending himself in the only begotten Son of God paid the acceptable price to a holy God in our stead, ransoming us out of this world of death. Think about it. This is something that we should be thankful for. Understand how God views the world apart from his Son. Something went off. Oh, I'm sorry. My screen went off. If we understand how God Almighty, views this world apart from his Son, we'll understand how dark this place is. And therefore, we will be much more inclined to be thankful to him. All right? Again, I will say, I think all of us take our holy God for granted. Hebrews 2, 10 and 11. I would like to read Hebrews 2, 10 and 11. Hold on. All right. Having a tough time here. Hebrews 2, 10 and 11. For it became him, or more exactingly, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom or through whom are all things, in bringing men, think about this, and daughters, because sons include female human beings, unto glory. Match this up with being missing the mark in the old man. To make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He sent himself in the Son for this, really. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, or more exactingly, brothers. And this includes female human beings. We can talk about the fall of Lucifer. And so if we turn back to Genesis 1:1-2, I just want to pose I want to oppose an idea, a couple of ideas. And somebody said, somewhere amongst us, you can either disagree or agree. We are all students of the Word. Genesis 1:1, well, what's happening here? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth became waste and wild, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Holy Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Okay, so we know that God did not create the earth and the heavens waste and wild. We know that. And the earth became waste and wild. What was happening here? Well, I particularly believe that in this statement also was included the fall of Lucifer, who became Satan, the liar, the deceiver, the destroyer, the father of all lies. He fell, became Satan, and he himself and fallen angels were thrown into the deep. The universe and the earth became waste and wild and darkness and the deep. Okay? Some may agree with that. Some may not. I believe that at this point. Then it goes on in Genesis to talk about the Lord separating the waters. We don't have to put this down there, Ron. He created night and day. Interesting. Because he created night and day out of darkness and the deep. If that's what I think. And then he recreated the earth, separated the waters, and then the universe stands as it is today. But it's not in the same form as it was when Lucifer was the ambassador of God in worship. All things were in harmony with what our holy almighty God wanted. And then scriptures teach that God recreated the earth and created a man, a human, on it. That in itself, he could have created any form, any being, looking any way, in shape or form, but he created a human being. Why did he do this? Because it was in his plan to come himself in the form and likeness of that human being for us. I mean, think about these things, if you would. Being thankful. One of my questions is this, is could have God let Satan and the fallen angels remain in darkness and in the deep forever, if he chose to do so? Well, my answer is sure. He could have let Satan and the fallen angels being captivated in the deep in darkness and then moved on. I think he could have done that if he chose to. But we can be thankful for this, that our God is holy and that our God requires holiness. Our God requires perfection, and our God requires fullness. And so in his plan, think about it, in his plan, he brought the earth out of darkness, and in so doing, it's interesting possibly what happened to the evil one. Could we say that the evil one was let loose out of the deep? Well, we know that he certainly didn't waste any time in tempting Adam. And the Lord knew all this. But what my point is that we can be thankful. We might take it for granted that we have a holy God. We might take it for granted that we have a God that wants everything to be in harmony with him as it was in the beginning. We might take for granted that we have a God that wants fullness in him, spiritually, in true reality, in immortality. We might take that for granted because we could have a God that might be any type of God. But think about the character and nature of our God. And I would say this to Mike. Mike, don't ever take that for granted. And then out of this, he called many people to himself, many human beings. And then what's more, he allowed us and called us to be the fullness of his Son at his right hand in immortality forever. And if you think about these things, this is what true reality for us is. And so I'm stating these things tonight to say, and be ye thankful. And these are just a few things. Now, we understand that we understand all these things through the Word of God. And the Lord, if you study the history of the Word of God, you'll find out that Satan tried to destroy us even having any part of the Word of God. If you go into the study through the last 2,000 years of what happened to the Word of God, be ye thankful. For I've said this many times, it might be redundant, but we can go out and get a scripture for a dollar. We can get a New Testament for nothing. And according to 2 Peter 1:20, let's just turn there quickly. 2 Peter 1:20. Just an example, you might know this already. And I'm sure you've read this many times, but it's very important. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, or might I say, by God, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, is a person. 2 Timothy 3:16, we know this. 2 Timothy 3:16. We know this. but it's extremely important to understand how thankful we should be. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. That is awesome that He would provide us a way that we could be pleasing to Him even while we are here, no less. And so, those are just a few things that I thought about being thankful and not taking our great God for granted, because He could be anything and He could choose anything at will, but He chose great things in His plan for us, great things that are going to occur on this planet for believers. And you know, eventually, we live in a fallen world. Humans without the Lord are going to die, and this world eventually is going to burn up. And so, in the long run, this place, as it stands, is not the true reality. Immortality is. And so, let's address the question of Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 4. The new man, are they the same in both chapters? Well, I'll just tell you right out, no, they're not the same. There you go, that's it. Have a good evening. No, they're not the same. We know, and it's been well said by studied people in the Word of God, that Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 constitute truth on our standing before the Lord in the calling of the mystery, and that Ephesians chapters 4 through 6 constitute truth as to our state or as to our worthy walk in our calling of the mystery, in our standing. We are perfect in Him. There are many things in Ephesians 1 through 3 that we are blessed with and that are solid and that are sealed by God, the Holy Spirit, who is a person. There is going to be no taking back of all the things that we have in our standing in Christ at the right hand of God. So that is a tremendous victory that I believe I can say, hey, Mike, please keep these things in your mind as you're walking through this world of darkness without the Son of God. Ephesians chapter 4 through 6 constitute our worthy walk. Therefore, it is an outworking of God in us that is going on in these chapters. Things to be aware of. Things to be through the new man to others of our calling. A warfare, putting on an armor. Those are things that are not a given. Those are things that we are directed to do. And so we have one new man in Ephesians 2. Let's read it. And let me just say this quickly. We have one new man in Ephesians 2, and we have the new man in Ephesians 4. One new man, the new man. And there's a difference. and we can easily read about it. And that's what we're going to do. We can turn to Ephesians 2:11 through Ephesians 3:1. And we can read it. Now, I have some Greek definitions of man. Anthropon is the Greek word for man, or form. One new man in Ephesians 2 is henna, kainan, anthropon. Henna, kainan, anthropon. The new man in Ephesians 4 is tan, kainan, anthropon. We notice there's a difference. One is one new man, henna. The other is the new man, tan. And if we read Ephesians 2:11 through Ephesians 3:1, we'll find out that God is creating something and making one new man. I will say this, that I believe that Ephesians 2:11 through Ephesians 2:22 is a parenthetical statement. That means that it's a statement in parentheses. And then in Ephesians 3, Paul, after he reads this parenthetical statement of 11 verses, he goes on. It states in Ephesians 2:11, wherefore remember this, starts the parentheses, that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, a Gentile and a Jew in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of God, having no hope and without God in the world. But now I want you to understand, Paul says, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, which was a middle wall in the synagogues, and it was a middle wall of enmity. Enmity. Strife between a Jew and a Gentile. Paul is saying now, after Acts 28, in Christ, that's gone, and you're one new man in Christ, having abolished in his flesh, verse 15, the enmity or the strife, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the two, of the Jew and of the Gentile, one new man, so make peace. One new man. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. He goes back to the cross. Interesting. Having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were near. For through him we both, a Jew and a Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye also are builded together, Jew and Gentile, for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Written in Ephesians chapter 2, talking about our standing in our calling of the dispensation of the mystery before Almighty God. You would have to note in Ephesians 2 that the old man is never spoken about. But one new man is. And in Ephesians 3:1, he says, for this cause. And so the parenthetical statement ends at verse 22, and then Paul states, for this call. Remember, for this cause, remember these things, believers. And it's for this cause that I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. And he goes to talk about the dispensation of grace. And then he talks about the dispensation of the mystery in Ephesians 3. There is no old man in Ephesians 2. Anthropon, the Greek word or form for man, it can mean a human being, male, female, mankind. It can mean an adult male human being. It can mean a human being in conflict at a transcendent level. Whoa. What? It can mean a human being being in conflict at a transcendent level. Well, what in the world does that mean? This transcendent means this. Beyond the normal or physical human experience, the spiritual realm of Almighty God, who exists apart from and who is not subject to the limitations of the material universe. And so when anthropon is being used in the New Testament, we have to understand that it may be a human being in conflict. It can also mean a heavenly being that looked like a human. Interesting. So, we know that all men and women born of the flesh have an old nature or an old man. And so we're going to read about the old man, not the one new man, but we're going to read about the old man in context with the new man. And so we have in Ephesians 2, one new man. And Ephesians 4, we have the new man. They're different. It is godly truth such as these that are spoken about by our Lord and by the Apostle Paul to the rulers of Israel, talking about the flesh and the old man. For the hierarchy of Israel at the time, truly, were from the old man in their thinking, and they had a love of self that the Lord spoke about and in a way attacked, because they were highly religious people. And see, highly religious people can be functioning totally in the old man. And so countless times the Lord directed his real cutting speeches to the Pharisees because they were walking in the old man. They didn't even know that the scriptures of the Old Testament spoke about him. And so their machinery was totally made up by themselves through the old man. So bad it was, and so so much a love for themselves that they had, that when he spoke the truth from them, their hearts produced murder in direction of our great Lord, Christ Jesus. They thought about murder. And see, this is the old man at its worst. Self-love, self-pride, love of self, and hatred for the truth. It's interesting that Pilate said to our Lord, "What is truth?" And what I know through education and the legal system is that lawyers will tell you that in the courts, they're not looking for truth at all. Because if the truth was stated and put forth in this world, then people would have responsibility, and that would be a mess. They avoid it at all costs, even in our courts systems. What is truth? Our world does not want to know the truth because it makes them responsible. So when we read Ephesians 4, talking about the new man, we're going to read Ephesians 4, :22-32, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. All right, so we have the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. How do we understand anything about a holy God in this flesh? Well, the old man has nothing to do with God, nor does he want anything to do with God. In order for us to have spiritual understanding, God has to put the mechanism of understanding immortal things, holy things, and true things in us, and that is the new man. And so we have a conflict. We're left with that, which is a battle, which is interesting. Why would the Lord leave us here with this battle? It's interesting. That's a fair question. You might say, well, you ask kind of bizarre questions. I don't think they're bizarre, and so what? So why does the Lord leave us here? Hey, you know, we're totally victorious in Him, and our calling is sealed, and nobody or nothing can touch it. So why are we here? Well, of course, we're to enlighten all as to what is the dispensation of the mystery. That's awesome. Two, we're here to put on the armor of God, which is a spiritual armor. And so we understand and learned how we can trust Him. Because if you do not keep the Word of God in your minds and hearts as you walk in this place, and you shun that, then the old man will begin to take over, and eventually you might not understand who you really are anymore. I know it happens to me. If I avoid having my mind in the Word of God and go for days and days thinking about the world and all the problems and all the things and all the struggles that I have to do and face, I become somebody that I'm not in the Lord. And so it is a battle, and it's a spiritual battle, and furthermore, we have an enemy that's spiritual. You know, so we are here so that we understand how to put on the armor of God, how to win prizes and crowns, running the race, and how to trust in Him and not in ourselves. So He's teaching us that. Sometimes it hurts pretty bad when we decide to walk after ourselves and after our own strength. I know. I've been there time and time again. And so I'm being taught, you can't mess around with you, who you are in the Lord, His blessings, and the reality of who you are in, on this planet. Because you're going to be attacked, and then you might go back to your strength in your flesh. You might go back to how good you are in your flesh. You might go back to how smart you are in your flesh. You might go back to how nice you are in your flesh. But all of that has nothing to do with the new man. It has to do with your flesh. And so once you're there, you're walking after your own power, because the truth is that no matter how good we feel our flesh is, its end is death. That's the reality of it. So what am I saying? Am I saying don't be good? No, I'm saying this, that to be good like the Lord wants you to be, you have to walk after the new man. And then blessings will be abundant, and you won't have to even worry about it. But it's a battle. And so the warfare is not a joke. It is not a kindergarten thing. And the one that we're battling against, not giving him more honor, quote, than he should have, but to not consider who you are in the new man, and to not consider who's your enemy, you start walking into some trouble. That's, you know, because you're denying who you are in the Lord, and you're concentrating on who you are in the world. And that's a big mistake. I know, because I do it. Okay, so I can say to you that I know things because, hey, you know, they happen to me, and I'm not afraid to say it because I hope that it's helpful to you. And so I have no problem saying how weak and how needy I am. And that's a great thing. That's a great thing. When I look at the old man in I'm gonna turn and I'm gonna give you some definitions as to the old man given by a number of Greek scholars. What is the old man? Why does it say old man? What does that mean? The King James Version states that you putting off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Green's Interlinear states, you to put off as regards to the former behavior of the old man, having been corrupted according to the lusts of deceit. A critical commentary by a Greek scholar named Jameson states that ye have put off once and for all with reference to your former manner of life, the old self, who is being corrupted according to the passionate desires of deceit. A critical commentary by a Greek scholar named Brown states that ye have put off in respect to your former way of life, your old man your old, pardon me, your old unconverted nature, which is being corrupted according to the lusts of deceit. And lastly, an expanded translation by a man named Wiest, who was a pretty great Greek scholar, that ye have put off once and for all reference to your former manner of life, the old self who is being corrupted according to the passionate desires of deceit. And so, in reference to the new man, in Ephesians 4, we have the old man. And let me point out that every one of us has an old man. Whether we think it's good, great, lovely, wonderful, or bad. And we learned that the old man is the former self, which is being corrupted day by day according to passionate lusts of deceit. And so when we walk after the old man, we can expect thoughts like this, actions like this. We can get in dangerous positions being tempted through the old man. We can lose perspective if we don't walk after the new man, because we will lose strength in the new man and become weak in the new man and look to the old man for strength, who is being deceived according to passionate lusts of deceit. And so we have to be very careful, folks, day by day. We have to be very careful of what we let in our hearts. We have to be very careful about what we let in our minds. And we have to be careful about what we let in our eyeballs. Because in this electronic world, things can come flashing over email, over statements on this electronic this electronic screen. Bang, bang, tempting, just like that, out of nowhere. I know, because I have it happen to me. And so we're in a battle, and I think these electronic devices can be great, but they can be dangerous to us, who are supposed to walk after the new man. Verse 22 of Ephesians 4, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the former self, the old man, which is a corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Do we have an old man? Well, if we didn't have an old man, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul wouldn't be telling us to put him off and put on. Put off, put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Somebody would say, well, why wouldn't you want to do that? Are you crazy? Why wouldn't you want to put on the new man? Why? Because we have an old man. And because we're in a spiritual battle. So the new man of Ephesians 4 is different than the one new man of Ephesians 2. Wherefore, putting away, and so now Paul is going to start talking about the old man. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth to his neighbor. How can you speak the truth if you don't know it? For we are members of one another. How do we communicate with one another? Through the old man? How do we look at one another? In the old man? That's dangerous. We look at one another through the new man, because we're destined for immortality, the true reality. Be angry and sin not, or it should really say, don't be angry and sin. Because the next statement says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So don't be angry because that's sin. And if you fall to anger, you're going to allow the sun to go down and you'll go to bed in anger. I know. I've done it. I've done it, so I know that it is not what I should be doing. Neither give place to the devil. Well, that's a loaded statement. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may be able to give him that needs. How can we be members of the assembly, the chosen ones, the body of Christ's fullness, and steal? It's possible. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Do I fail at that? You better believe I do. Because, you know, I got problems with the old man that I have to nip in the bud real quick. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Can the Holy Spirit be grieved? Apparently. Why? Because he's a person. And he's the sealer of you. And somehow you can grieve him. How is that? How can we grieve him? Well, we're talking about the old man and the new man. I don't think if we walk in the new man, we're going to be grieving the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, oh boy, this is trouble for Mike. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Don't have malice. Well, I'm the type of guy that, when somebody does me wrong, it takes me a long time to get it out of my head. Because I want what? What's the word? You know, I want justice, right? I want justice. But, you know, vengeance isn't mine. My wife tells me this all the time. Because if vengeance was ours, we would see it. Vengeance is the Lord's. And so we got to trust him because we all receive for the things that we do wrong and there's no respect of persons. And so we cannot injure one another without retribution. The thing about it is that comes from our holy God and not from ourselves. And so when that happens, you're supposed to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. But that doesn't give anybody license to be hurtful to other sons of God and think they are going to get away with it, because they won't. And all things are open and naked before the Lord, no matter what we think or no matter what we do. And so we're called to holiness. And we have an old man, and we're told to walk after the new man, which is created in righteousness, not our righteousness, but in the righteousness of God, and in true holiness. And so, what is the new man? What is God the Holy Spirit within us? You know, is this life just a progression in the flesh until we die? And we are raised from the dead, and that's where our lives in Christ begin, after we die? Is that the truth? Well, no, it's not. Because otherwise, we wouldn't be able to receive the crowns and prizes that we talk about. And how do we do that? It's not after we are manifested in glory. It's what we choose to do now. And so our lives in our God have begun already. Otherwise, we wouldn't know what truth is whatsoever. Our old man wants to have nothing to do with it. And so I hope that this was edifying for you. And You know, we're going to pick up a little bit with the old man, and you know, we saw that the old man has to do with the flesh, has to do with the heart, has to do with the carnal mind, you know, and that's all negative and everything. But you know, that's what we face every day in the world. And let me end with this. I have to state this. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. This will be a good ending. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Okay? Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is talking of the latter times, the end times, the times that we are quickly approaching to and that we are in. And I'll read it. This ye know, that in the last days, in the latter days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. When we read about in Ephesians 2, or yeah, in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, is that a real good explanation of the new man? Or a pretty good explanation of the old man? And so, our world is walking in the old man, and they love it. And so, we're directed to understand these things and much more. But I hope that this was edifying for you. And, you know, I'm thankful to have a knowledge of God and be chosen of Him. Thanks, and, you know, have a blessed holiday.